He's living in us, right? So how do we preserve the unity of the Holy Spirit and the bond of peace? We pray for each other, not against each other. Here's one. Be kind. Also fruit of the Holy Spirit, by the way. In Galatians 5, be kind, especially when they are not. Jesus talked about that too, didn't he? Was he like that? He still is. I have learned over the years that Jesus will not join any of my lynching parties. You know, when I have a good head of steam and I would just want to go read somebody the riot act, he never wants to join in. Thanks, Bob. You just go on your own. I'll just stay right here. Thank you. Oh, come on, Lord. It would mean so much if you were there. And you say, you know, I'm just not as irritated with them as you are, Bob. Here's the other one. Refuse to argue. It is impossible to have a one-sided argument with one person. Impossible. I told you that in my first church there was a naive young couple. By the way, they're still married after all these years, 30 years or so. So must be working. But when they first got married, in fact, they just came back from their honeymoon, and they said, Pastor Bob, we have this great thing, and we'd love to just share it with the whole body. And I said, okay. They said, we have figured out how to stop all of our arguments. And I said, oh, this will be good. You've been married what? How many hours have you been married? They said, we figured when we started dating that we could only have an argument if we were standing facing each other holding hands. And I'm thinking, naive. I mean, it's not a good argument unless you can, like, throw the grenade in, pull the pin, and run out and slam the door and let it go off when you're not in the room. You know what I mean? You can't really get a... And I said, so what happened? And they said, well, we stand there, we hold hands, and it doesn't matter how angry we are, after a while we just start laughing because it's so silly. And if there's an argument, we have to let go to have an argument. And these sound a lot smarter to me. Now, what if we just flat refuse to argue with people? Well, number one, it'll make them mad, some people, because they want to argue. If you haven't figured this out yet, this is a little clue, and I've saved you $100 an hour for a counselor by telling you this, that some people, when they're feeling bad about themselves, will pick a fight just to make you lose your temper, which will make them feel better about themselves. Don't fall for it. Just simply refuse to argue. Good stuff, huh? So, living that out. That's what he means in that one little short little statement that says, make every effort, even when it's hard, to preserve, keep, because you treasure it, the unity that the Holy Spirit has created in the body, in the bond of peace. Eirene is the Greek word. I asked Fred how to pronounce it because I've always been pronouncing it wrong. Eirene, for those out in the lobby writing Greek words down. Eirene. It means the ceasing of conflict, amongst other things. And remember, in the early part of Ephesians, Paul says that's how the dividing walls of hostility were torn down. They were torn down in Jesus, and it says he himself is our Eirene, our peace. Jesus is the place the hostility and conflict ceases. There's so much I could talk about this, but I have to press on. Because that's just verse 3. So what makes us one? He gives us a pretty, I think, pretty complete statement. I believe in... It's my conviction, and you can study it and see if you feel differently, but I believe that the next few things that he's going to say in verses 4 through 6 are the definition of what the real church is. It is the thread, so to speak, that runs through the entire church, regardless of style differences or even cultural differences or personality differences, all of which are, God is so diverse in all of his creation, those things are don't have to be a threat to unity at all, only when we overemphasize them. But these are the things that make us one. One body, and other places, but even earlier in Ephesians, he said he talks about the body as the church. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, in all, but there is diversity, and we'll talk about that. I'm pretty sure I have time to do that. But I want to take each one of these things. We sang a song about it today. There's only one God. There's only one King. There's only one body. That's why we can sing, bind us together, Lord. I took two pre-med courses in college, in my fifth year of college, just enough to realize how ignorant I was. But it was the first one was called Human Anatomy and Physiology, and the second one was called Parasitology, which is the study of parasites. And trust me, don't ever take that class. You don't even want to know what my term project was. I found it out in the vacant lot behind the school. But studying the human body and the fact that the Bible calls the church a body is a fabulous object lesson. Because the body is filled with so many radically different parts that all function together. The feet and the eustachian tubes in the ear could not possibly look different, but they both have to do with balance. The mitochondria in the cellular structure of the body, the synapsing, the firing of the nerve endings. I know you've been studying this, haven't you, Pete? Molecular biology, man, microbiology, what a fascinating study. But we don't get it, do we, in the church? Because when you study the body, parts have different functions, they look different. But the thing that keeps the body functioning and in a well-trained athlete functioning beautifully to the highest potential for the organism itself is when everything's organized by the head, getting all its orders by the head. It's all meant to fit together. Man, it sure doesn't look like that, does it, often? What if your right eyeball got its feelings hurt by your left eyeball and said, "That's it, I am never tracking with you again." So your left eye looks over here and your right eye says, "Oh, you're going to be that way?" And your right eye looks over here. Pretty soon you have an issue with the nose or the shins because you're going to run into something. And yet that's the way that the body of Christ often functions. It's abnormal. It's deformed. One body. We don't have to all look alike. We're not supposed to look alike. We don't all have to have the same function. When we started this church, the one thing the Lord made really clear, first of all, I didn't want to be a pastor again. I'd had it up to here, didn't want to ever do that again. And at the same time, I'm saying, "Lord, I'll just do whatever you want me to do." He said, "Son, well, I've got bad news and I've got good news." Bad news is I want you to be a pastor. The good news is what I want you to do. And I'll help you. I know where I was going with that. The thing the Lord told us when we started this fellowship, he said, Lincoln County does not need another church. This isn't about there being another church. This is just about there being a place where I can do the things I want to do with people that none of the other churches want or that maybe don't fit there. But it's not like I'm going to start something and I'm not going to do anything anyplace else. That's not it. He had a specific thing he wanted to do. We have a specific mission. It's not in conflict with other people and what other people are doing. It's not supposed to be anyway. Even when they won't speak to me, even when they call me names and call people names, it's still, I still consider myself to be part of the body of Christ here. And our individual body of believers, same thing. We're supposed to be different, but somehow it all fits together when we're following the instructions of our head. One Spirit. Capital S in my NIV. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, the presence of God, which inhabits us. I'll say this again. I'll say it a bunch of times today. I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but it's the truth. Just because a church has Jesus' name on it does not mean it's part of the church. I know at least two ministers and suspect five or six more because of things that they've said who don't even believe there's such a thing as the Holy Spirit indwelling people. And some of them believe the Holy Spirit indwells everybody. Everywhere. What makes us part of the church is the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. It's what makes us alive. It's why we're not a room full of dead people spiritually. And Paul's already talked about that. One hope. And the way that I look at this, what is our hope? That, you know, that word means the confident expectation of future good. That's what the Greek word elpis means. Hope. When you became a Christian, you got exactly the same future as I do. You get to be with Jesus forever. It's not that, well, the church that I grew up in before I came to Calvary Chapel thought that, yes, maybe some Baptist churches, maybe some of them people will actually get to heaven, but we'll be in first class, they'll be in coach. And there are some other churches that, well, they won't may actually get to there, but they can handle the baggage in the airport and wish us all a smooth flight. You know what I mean? Those silly things. No, we all have the same hope when Jesus is in us. He's going to transform these stinky bodies that we're trapped in, give us new ones, and we get to spend eternity with him and stand before him someday with our sins completely cleansed. Which we've been looking at, his faithfulness to bringing that about in 1 Thessalonians on Wednesday nights. One Lord. Who is that? It's Jesus. The word Lord is, I'll say this again, just because it's going on tape. The word Lord, or whatever it's going on, digital recording. The word Lord is not a name. It's a title. It means Master. There are a couple of churches in the county. The pastors have been very open about this. They say they're Christian churches. They openly teach that Jesus Christ is not the only way to get to God. I have an issue with that because Jesus said he is. So you got to deal with that. Jesus can't be lying and still be who he said he was. So the places that do not have Jesus as their master, by my understanding, don't qualify as part of the church. The flip side of that is, the churches and the people where Jesus is their master, we are connected to one another because we have the same master. Even if what he's asking me to do is different than what he's asking them to do. Doesn't matter. Same master. One faith, that word pistis, means that that adherence to or trusting in or leaning upon the same Jesus. Remember Peter and James and John coming to Jesus and talked about, yeah, we saw some guy casting demons out, but we made him stop because he wasn't one of us. I didn't see him at the last church potluck, so I told him to stop doing stuff for Jesus. Well, you're not his master. It's not my business to tell other servants of the Lord what they're supposed to be doing. My job is to, I'm going to quote Bill Belichick again, which I did on Thursday night. On the door out of the Patriots locker room, right over the top of the door, it says, do your job. Don't sit and bellyache about who's not doing their job. None of your business. Do your job. One baptism. Oh, man, I don't even want to go there. I think it's talking about what baptism means, not the technique. It's not a technique issue. We dunk, but because I think that that is the very best picture of what baptism is. But we know there will be at least one person in heaven, probably thousands, but at least one person in heaven who was never baptized, dunked in water. And that's the thief on the cross. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, I'm sorry. Can we just climb down off the crosses right now and let's find a anybody got a baptismal? It's what baptism means. It's a public statement that I have died to the old self. I'm being resurrected new in Jesus and being dunked under the water. Such a great picture of that. Peter tells us, and we studied this on Wednesday nights, that if it's not an honest pledge of my heart, nothing happened except you got wet. I've baptized a lot of people. Some of them are walking with Jesus and some of them are not. Some of them meant what they did and others didn't. The ritual itself didn't save them. It's the contract that they made. It's the public statement what they made. And so that means however we did it, if we all meant the same thing, that's a way that we're united. One God and Father, that's what makes us a family. Over us all, working through us all, in us all, and I'm not going to get any farther than that today. That's okay. Still got two more pages of notes. So let me just read what we won't study today, but we'll look at next week. But to each one of us, grace has been given, or we have been gifted with grace, just as or according to how Christ apportioned it. And it's going to give us, starting in verse 11, a list of things, of offices. It's not the entire list, but we're going to talk about what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the fact that there's a diversity of spiritual gifts, there's differences in ministry of those very same gifts, there's distinctive operation of them, but the thing that unites them is they're all given by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is meaning to say here as well. So he's the one who decides who gets what and how much. He's the one that keeps the body. How do you keep a body of such diverse parts with such different function? How do you make it all work? How do you manage it all? Well, the answer is humans can't. We mess it up when we try to do it. It's the flesh trying to be the Holy Spirit, and we can't. It's easy for him. It's going to be easy for me when I'm yielded to him and I'm listening to him. But I think often we just have to have this template held up there. So we're looking at it and we're saying, is this the way I am? Is this the way I think? Is this the way I view the church? Otherwise, we just get messed up. We get messed up when people are different than us. We get messed up when God's doing something different over there than he is here. We just get messed up. So let's make the main thing. And I realize that probably most of you, this isn't even an issue with you. But it is an issue out there. There are people who you are united to by the Holy Spirit who aren't going to treat you that way. Hate to tell you that, but that's just the way that it is. Let's pray that that will cease. Because all it takes for the devil to win is for God's people to fight each other. Because if we're fighting each other, we're not listening to him. If we're not listening to him, he doesn't give it, we don't have his power. And then we're sitting ducks. Let's pray. Thank you for these words, Lord. I pray for them to be taken seriously in my mind and my heart. I pray, Lord, that we would have the same view of your people that you do. And especially, I know I need especially to have your view when they're people that I don't particularly like the way they do things, or they're different than me, they're foreign to me. I want to see the way you do, Lord. And every time I do, I feel like something is washed away that's cruddy and icky and polluting. And every time you help me to do that, I feel freer. And I love you more. So do that for us today, Lord. There's lots of people I'd avoid if I could, and you won't let me. So I pray that we would bloom wherever you plant us. I pray that when other people who are part of your body run into us, that they would see Jesus' faces looking back at them. Regardless of what they think about me, Lord, I pray that they would see your smiling face. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Remind us, because we leak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.